We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
All right. Thank you for joining the ESBC NFL Sports Betting Podcast. And I always say, the reason for the podcast is to make me money.
Hey, and thank you for joining
me. And the premium in the let me take me myself podcast. Off over here, the other stream. But the reason I say that is because I have to turn off every media I see, because everybody's so disingenuous. Nobody's telling you exactly what's going on, and we've been fortunate, lucky, and good for the last 13 years to be able to profit from this. My wife has not bought gasoline. See the high prices of gasoline for 12 years if it hasn't been betting money. And as a guy with the MBA, securities licenses, clients, 50 million and up, right? Every podcast has to be a businessman, and your thought process has to be the same. The same way you invest in a stock, the same way you invest in a business, same thought process, the same methodology, right? Decision science, probability theory, same concepts in finance, using fundamental analysis and taking back advantage of market inefficiencies is how you make money, okay? But we got so much insight that in my business, if you have non-public proprietary information, it's illegal to use. But we've been watching football for so long. We've been recognizing patterns, which is math, for so long. It is synonymous, right? It's equal to having non-public information, inside information to use, right? So that's the purpose, right? You got the purpose, right? To make money. The outcome's been 65% NFL the last 2 years, 68% college football. Lucky, fortunate, and good. 3-0 headed to 5-0 college football now. And that's 500% all right, because you get lied to in business. Revenue is meaningless. What means something is profit, free cash flow. 52.5% is break even, 60, 70, and 80%. Is profit, and it's compound interest consistently being as high as possible over 52.5. This is the only place you're getting that information. However, every year is different. And if you are, let's say it's in business all the time, if you are the toughest, smartest person in the room, you are in the wrong room. So I got two people a lot smarter, tougher than I am, because the last 13 years does not mean anything. What have you done for me lately? If you live in the past, you die in the past. So we got a lot of diversity here coming from the Northeast. We'll be in Vegas, reporting for Vegas next week. Very excited. Scott Cobe, how are you feeling tonight?
Very, very good, Josh. How are you doing?
Hey, every day is a great day, man. And excited. The insight you gave on the draft was phenomenal. And I'm excited for what we got going this year, because I think a lot of things haven't changed, and I think COVID stopped a lot of crazy changes that I'm looking at, and the extra week on top of that. So I'm looking forward to having a big year and be able to mitigate inflation. And then we have Chad Nolan, Arena Football League, successful college player, successful professional player. He worked out with all the guys this summer, NFL, college. He brings in a lot of insight. on a lot of levels, especially conditioning, with this year where conditioning is going to be so important. And he worked out with a lot of Seattle Seahawks, a lot of safety work that's analogous with the teams that are going to do well this year, like the Patriots, Baltimore, and every team basically in the AFC East plays the same defense. And Chad was there with those Seattle Seahawks guys and that guy that Washington that's playing for
the Tennessee Titans,
man. Thank you, Chad Noll.
Yeah, he'll be the next Honey Badger, man. Next Tyrann Mathieu.
Right, who tested for COVID today for Kansas City.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Yep.
They're all playing the same defense. Yeah, I was reading Pete Carroll, Win Forever, right? And he's saying, man, I'm going to play the same defense that I've been playing the last 40 years, Monty Kiffin defense. So I'm going to listen to again, and I'm going to give you all the picks we have tomorrow on the over and under, because the ones that we had consensus on, those are really strong plays, right? So we will make money, and we are going to have the best content of any NFL podcast out there. I kind of did some research on some other ones, and no one is keeping it as real as we are. So we're going to go in alphabetical order, sort of. We'll start with the NFC East, and we'll start with the New England Patriots. What do you guys think about the New England Patriots?
Well, Cam's gone now, so it's Mac Jones as a quarterback, which means that should tell you they're going to run the ball probably 60 to 70% of games and rely on their defense, as Belichick loves to do. And now he has the team he wants to have. So the over under point totals in games, as we were talking about earlier, you got to lean heavily toward the under in those games, because New England's going to try to control the ball for 40 minutes every game if they can. So I would go heavy on the under. I didn't look at their updated win total. Last one I saw was around 9. I would go right. I'd go just barely over that. I'd go 10 for sure. I think they have a good schedule. Their defense, they lost Gilmore for the first 6 weeks, but I think
they have a stacked defense.
Yeah, they have a stacked defense. Plus all the people coming back, stuff like that. So that's where I stay with the Patriots.
All right, so looking at their first game against Miami, the average, and it hasn't changed, even though it has seemed with a lot of scoring, but historically, the average total of an NFL game is 45. The first game, Miami at New England. Right now, New England's favored by 2.5, and the total's 44.5. I'll go ahead and bet that tonight. By that half a point, I'm going to go under 45. What are your thoughts on the New England Patriots, Chad?
Yeah, I think Scott hit it on the head. When they released Cam, right, you texted me yesterday, that let us know that Belichick is liking his defense. He likes what he sees. He thinks he can win games with that defense. So he wants to go with the younger guy and start getting him in the flow of things and start developing him into what he can be. So, with them releasing Cam, that lets us know Belichick's defense is where he wants it to be and that they're going to be playing an under style of football all year.
Right. 100%. He's a control freak. So this gives him more control over what's going on. And this is the same offense he ran at Alabama. They all run the same thing. Bill Belichick is best friend with Nick Saban. And with this much money involved, they talk to each other. And suddenly, I was listening to Nick Saban say the same thing he says every single year. And he was talking about Bill O'Brien. He's like, oh, Bill O'Brien, he came here with under the recommendation of Bill Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
They got six Super Bowls and 6 national championships between them. And Saban was his defensive coordinator with the Cleveland Browns back in the day.
Yep.
So that's that. We're going to, definitely over. We're going to go over New England Patriots, over 9.5. I could see them being 12, because it's 17 games now, so 12-5, definitely. And they're just waiting for other teams to make mistakes, really, the first half or sometimes three quarters of the season, where your Bill Belichick or Pete Carroll will do their review and take over the offense and defenses. And what happens? We monetize it the way we did last year. So, Chad, what are your thoughts on the Buffalo Bills?
Oh, they are going to be what? The best competition for the Patriots for sure in that division.
Over under 11.
Over under 11. Man, I think over. I think that's probably a pretty solid number. Probably not won't play it, but I mean, if gun to my head, I could see them with the extended season winning that 12-13 wins. You know, the Jets and Dolphins aren't going to be anything special in those four games. They probably can get all four of those, split with the Patriots. You know, Josh Allen kind of had a breakout year. You know, Stephon Diggs, probably one of the best receivers in the game, best route runner in the game. I think, I mean, they're going to be a Super Bowl contender for sure this year. I think they're built that way. They showed it last year. I think they've haven't had anything really dramatic happen this off season. So
what do you think about Buffalo, Scott?
I agree with Chad. I mean, they're if you saw their last preseason game, I don't know how much stock you put in their preseason games. He was throwing to everybody, Josh Allen, and completing almost every pass. The ball did not hit the ground until 5 minutes into the first quarter. So he looks like he's ready to take his game to another level if it can be taken there. Their defense is obviously going to be on the field a lot if they're going to play this high up-tempo offense. Right. And I think the defense is pretty good. I think they can hold teams in. The two bets that I'm making in Vegas next week is Josh Allen for MVP and Buffalo to go to the Super Bowl next year.
Oh, wow.
This coming year. Those are the two I'm definitely making. Because I could see if Buffalo gets the 1 or 2 seed, I could see Josh Allen being an MVP conversation.
And absolutely. People like him.
Yeah, and I can see Buffalo making the Super Bowl. I can see them giving Kansas City a lot of problems in a championship game. And if the game's in Buffalo, that is all the more if that game's in Buffalo. So I love them over for sure. I love them in over point totals in a lot of games this year. Them themselves in terms of 24, 27 points, I see them getting that easily. So,
yeah, they have a great defensive coordinator, Leslie Frazier. The only thing that scares me about Buffalo is that Josh Allen takes too many hits. And he's never say die attitude. He's trying to truck people. And that scares me because eventually he is going to get hurt.
Yeah.
That's a good point. You know, he puts the ball in harm's way. And the third thing that scares me about them is McDermott. Because McDermott tries to me, he's kind of like Don Jr. You know, Don Jr. saying, "Hey, Dad, I'm talking to WikiLeaks." He's like, "What are you doing? Don't talk to WikiLeaks." You know, he's always trying to impress. So it seems like McDermott's always trying to impress his dad, Andy Reid. You know, trying to out Andy Reid, playing the deep zones in the second half of games, letting teams come back, letting Josh Allen try to run over people. Sometimes over relying on the running game, and have they fixed that offensive line, right? Have they paid for offensive line guys? The other problem is Pagula, who's the owner of Buffalo. He's also the owner of Buffalo Sabres. He's just a bad owner. Just metal where he doesn't belong. And his gold digging wife, right? Everybody, Buffalo hates the gold digging wife. They'll put their mitts on the team if there's a big injury and they need to pay for some backups. That's what scares me about them. But I think the AFC, what do you guys think? The AFC as a whole is a lot better than the NFC?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's a number of teams that can come out of the AFC, where in the NFC, there's really only two, maybe three at the most that can get there. So
that would be 11-6, 10-7. I could see them being 11-6. I don't see them getting to 12 and 5. I could see 12-5. I could see them have 5 losses. And the Chiefs are 12.5. Mm-hmm. That total went down. It was at 14. So a lot of people bet that under with the Chiefs. But Buffalo's at 11 wins. I don't see like a big edge either way. But those are teams to look at the end. All right. From there you go Miami and the New York Jets. What are your thoughts on those two teams, Chad?
All right. Man, the New York Jets are just a dysfunctional organization.
Big time.
From, you know, all the way up, the ownership. You know, Zach Wilson is, he's a great player. I think, you know, he has a future in the NFL and can be successful. I don't think we're going to see much of that this year. With just what his surroundings there. You know, kind of like we talked about when the NFC was, you know, Darnold, we're getting our first look of Darnold outside of that dysfunction in Carolina. I just think he's going to be plagued by the same things that Darnold was the last few years. And I mean, the Jet, what's their win total? What are we looking at?
The Jets, we're looking at
6, I believe, 6.5, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
No, I think I'd go under.
6, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see them. Now, on the other hand, the Dolphins, I could see possibly having a decent year. They have some upside there.
So you worked out with the Dolphins, right? Chris Chambers in Miami?
Yeah, last summer. Yeah, I did. Yeah. I could see, you know, Tua got his feet wet. Could see him coming in this year, having himself a pretty good year. I think they got some pieces around him. Waddle's in Miami, correct?
Yeah.
So I mean, having that college, that chemistry, I think, you know, we see a lot of that around the league this year. You know, we see Jamar Chase up there with Burrow, where's he, Waddle, right. Devontae Smith with Jalen Hurts in Philadelphia. Right. You know, that I think people realize when you play with a guy. That chemistry as a quarterback receiver is something that's nice to have. I mean, I think that'll be a nice little safety blanket for him. And I mean, he's a legit, you know, all around deep threat. You know, just a Tyreek Hill type. You know, can score any place on the field type player. What is the Dolphins win total at?
9.5.
Ooh, that's a little high.
17 games. I see a lot of teams going 9-8, 8-9.
9-8. Yeah. I mean, I think 9-8
is no value in that at all. There's no that.
No value. Yeah. Gun in my head. Under. I think 9-8 is a good pick. They'll go under that 9.5 with 9.
Yeah. What do you think about the Jets, Scott?
I agree. The weapons around Zach Wilson are not good for him to succeed in there. Corey Davis is their number one receiver. They're really high on Elijah Moore.
Right.
A rookie wide receiver is going to go one of two ways. It's either going to be a Justin Jefferson year, which is 1,406 touchdowns or 7 touchdowns, or it's just going to be a learning year for them. I lean toward the learning year for Moore for sure. Their defense is not good either, so – you know, they could be in the same boat as they were last year in terms of 2-3, possibly 4 wins. I don't see them getting to 6. There's no way. Miami.
Yeah.
Miami built their offense on speed. You know, they got Will Fuller in the offseason, drafted Waddle. They got Gesicki. They got Devontae Parker. So they had Gaskin out of the backfield. So the weapons around him are pretty good. You know, it's all about how he reacts in games. You know, he's the man now. Last year he had Fitzpatrick, where if he was struggling, they go to Fitzpatrick and you know, they were fine. This year it's all on him. So, you know, I think Miami's around the 8 or 9 win mark. I think their defense is going to be really, really good this year. I think it's going to carry them. So I look at Miami as the 8-9 or 9-8 team. As Chad said, I think 9.5 is a little too high for them, for sure. 100%. And they're another under team as well. They're another heavy under team.
Made me a lot of money last year, betting the Dolphins and the under. I like the fact of the way Flores can motivate the team, but he's too much of a dictator, right? He has too much control over the coaching staff. In the first year was a disaster, right? He meddled. Defensive guys usually meddling in the offense is usually a disaster. The only two guys I see get away with it is Belichick to a certain extent, but he had a Hall of Fame quarterback. Without the Hall of Fame quarterback, Belichick hasn't proven to be able to win ever, right? He had a Hall of Fame quarterback in Cleveland when he had a, Kozak, when he had a good year. So he fires the offensive coordinator. He gets co-offensive coordinators. He's going to be in those meetings, which you really shouldn't be in those meetings. He's going to have these offensive coordinators. We're going to have to be have confidence in themselves and be able to backtalk Flores when he tries to meddle in the offense. You're looking at under, right? It's Josh Boyer. Josh Boyer. 16 years in the NFL. He's a defensive coordinator, so really it's going to be that same deep safety look. Offensive coordinator George Gotze, he's been in the NFL for a while. And then the running back coach, which is a running game guy. Gotze used to be with, again, the same people again, Bill O'Brien. So it's going to be that same offense. And we get hardcore football here. So, Chad, can you explain? Because people get it wrong, right? They think Tampa 2 is a defense. No, Tampa 2 is a coverage. So if you can explain that Tampa 2 defense and maybe a single high, a safety defense that Belichick and Carroll run. And Baltimore pretty much runs that same kind of zone type, zone look to begin with type defense. Can you explain that defense?
What aspects you want me to explain? Just how, what?
Just basic. Let's say you're lining up, right, and you're running. I know you ran the spread, but you're looking at the defense. You're saying, okay, are they playing man or zone? So this would be a zone look. So when you see zone, what's the kind of look you have?
Yeah, so zone, I mean, you're going to get a lot less man, like as a receiver, zone, you're going to get free releases. Like, guys aren't going to be jamming you off the line in a zone look. You're going to be getting a free run up to them. And then, you know, you're just looking, you know, it's more of a finding windows and sitting in windows and finding the soft spots of the zone where, you don't want to be too fast. And it's not like, you know, man on man where you're really trying to beat a guy. And, because you beat a guy really bad in zone, there's another guy right over there in the zone that's going to pick you up. So it doesn't really do you too good.
Right.
You know, the Tampa 2, I mean, that looks just like basically your middle backer is pretty much like a deep free safety. He's lining up at 5 yards and just getting out of there. It's almost like cover three for real. Versus just like a regular cover two look where you're not getting that kind of depth out of that middle backer. But Belichick's gonna play that zone and stuff, and you know, just keep it in front and that place to the under, you know, just keep this stuff in front of you, coming up and making tackles, not giving up the big play, just kind of playing it safe, that bend don't break mentality. Guys get short field, they get down there, 30, hold them to a field goal. Bend, don't break. They got down to the 30-20, but no touchdowns. They're playing that style of just keep it in front. You know, guys make big chunk plays. They get down there. They're not worried. They're just going to, bend, don't break, hold them to a field goal, live for another series.
Exactly. And that's what every single team in that division is going to do. And that's what they're known for. That's what McDermott is known for. Now, with Seattle, they'll mix it up because they'll have a fast defensive end and they'll blitz out of it. Then you get the zone blitz, which won the Super Bowl. I'm not going to listen to it, but you, whoever does, listen to the ball. I encourage people, if they're going to bet on games, don't listen to the announcers. But they'll say, this is a copycat league. So you're going to see a lot of zone blitzing because that's won a lot of Super Bowls. Won the Super Bowl last year with Todd Bowles. We're going to give you the look that Chad's giving you, but it might be a blitz look. The people that are in zone aren't the people you think are going to be in zone, or it could be man-to-man, or they could be like a man-to-man look, like Chad's saying that they knew, normally let you have a release off the line, but this time they'll give you a truck, and maybe the two cornerbacks are playing man, but everybody else is playing zone, or vice versa. They'll mix it up. These young quarterbacks throw interceptions from the hat. That's why Belichick's never lost to a young quarterback. Now we'll go to the North. And Baltimore, Pittsburgh, and Cincinnati all play that defense. Cleveland's going to be an analytics team that goes all over the place. Scott, what's your thoughts on the Cleveland Browns this year?
They're a complete – I mean, we talked about the Patriots running. Cleveland does the same exact thing. They want to run the ball, play some type of defense. Defense is not as good as the Patriots or the Bills or the Dolphins. But they're going to win a lot of games. There are a lot of people's favorites in the AFC to win that conference or to challenge Kansas City to win. Their win total is 10.5 last time I saw. That's right around what they're going to be, give or take a game. So it's all about their running game with them on offense. On defense, they signed Clowney. They have Myles Garrett. They want to rush the passer. They want to force the passer into quick throws, mistakes, you know, incompletions, get the ball back and run it. So they're a under team for sure this year in terms of games. They're a they're going to be a run and defense type of team, as we talked about with the AFC East. So. That's where I see them, 10.5. I say they go over a little bit. I say they win 11 games. They're going to be much improved from last year.
Right. The danger zone I see with them is reversion to the mean, right? That's a lot that we've used in statistics. Reversion to the mean. So a lot of their analytics, it's going to go the other way this year. Mm-hmm. Then they have a turnover machine at quarterback, which is mitigated by having Callahan as the offensive line coach. And Callahan always makes it to the playoffs. Made it to the Super Bowl with that Oakland Raiders, John Gruden team has won. He has several Super Bowl rings. So he's always got the running game straight, which is kind of funny. He's 100% against everything outlet twice. So in a way, it gives him balance. When things go south, Stefanski doesn't seem – like the guy that can crack the whip. So I actually like them under that 11 total for wins. First game is at Kansas City. Kansas City is -6. Over under is 53. And the average score of an NFL game is 45. I'm going to offload a lot of over under Scott this year. But that's my take on that. What's your thoughts on the Cleveland Browns, Chad?
Yeah, I'm curious to see how the defense is looking early on. I think if that defense is stout for them and they're getting that rush and that pressure that they're looking for, there with Garrett and Clowney, I could see them going over that. I think they'll – I mean, with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, debatably the best 1-2 punch in the backfield in the NFL, I mean, those guys – I mean, you're not really giving up much going one to the other. They both can short yardage, can really, really efficiently run that ball with a lead. They're going to be able to eat games up with a lead and run that rock. They got two workhorses. They're going to be able to keep those guys fresh, trade them off one to the other. You're going to be having to tackle a beast every freaking play. I worry when they get down, you know, because so much of their passing game is built off the play action stuff. Which you can't really get into when you're down, you know, no one's biting on, you know, when you're down, you know, two touchdowns, it's secondary is not freaking biting. They got a 2-touchdown lead. They're not biting on a play action fake. They're staying back, you know, bend, don't break, tackling stuff in front of you, you know, getting into the game. So, but, you know, Landry and Beckham are solid receivers. Higgins is a nice number three. They got Njoku. They they have some weapons there for Baker. You know, we haven't seen that chemistry. We haven't seen OBJ be able to click with Baker. You know, hasn't, you know, what we saw in New York with Odell, we haven't really seen in Cleveland. You know, he's had little spurts of it, but we haven't really seen that real clicking between them. Maybe this year we see something different between them. Maybe we kind of see that old the one hand OBJ, right, that you know, such an iconic play. Maybe we see some more of that this year, and they kind of get that going. But yeah, I mean, that win total I think is right on. I don't think over unders really. You know, I do like your point about the analytics. You know, it doesn't work in football. We've talked about that. Some regression to the mean is very possible. I think it's really going to come down to that defense for me. The defense is being lights out for them and doing what they need to do. I think they'll go over that. The defense has, you know, they're not getting that pass rush, and they start struggling. I think they're gonna have a tough year and be around 500.
Yeah, that's what I see. And they're in that division with Baltimore and Pittsburgh. Both of them have coaches that won Super Bowls. They're great organizations. And, man, they're going to make a lot of adjustments for Cleveland. So they're the type of organizations neither believes in analytics, believe in key statistics. But I bet you they're going to have an analytics department set up for this year for Cleveland, and kind of try to come up with exactly what is the regression to the mean for Cleveland. The youth phrases that you're using in corporate world now, what does that look like? What does that reversion to the mean for Cleveland look like with those two great organizations, John Harbaugh and Mike Tomlin at Pittsburgh, right? Was doing a lot of research on Baltimore. They're like Pete Carroll, make it to the playoffs every year, Super Bowl winning coach. He loves that plus one. They usually have a lot of injuries because they go too hard in practice. They break the NFLPA rules as far as going hard in practice. As much money as Lamar Jackson is going to make, he needs to be able to read defenses. I don't care either way. I bet he couldn't read defenses. He was going to make a mistake and Buffalo was going to win that playoff game. So I won the total, like, run the under, because I didn't think they were going to trust him, and they didn't. When they did trust him, he threw a pick six that we cashed on, and we were able to predict it. So for his sake, hopefully he's different. That's Baltimore. What do you think about Baltimore, Scott?
He's a proven winner, Harbaugh. I mean, right, he wins every year. But the main thing with them is, can Lamar throw the ball? You know, he can run the ball. You know, he's going to get his yards. You know, he's going to, you know, Dobbins is a huge loss for them. But I think Edwards can make up for that somehow. Lamar can take his rushing game to the next level. Defensively, they're always pretty good. They always are in the top three to seven in terms of deep in the NFL.
Right.
So they're another team that ideally wants to run the ball, play defense, possession, time of possession. They're going to have
very, family. Yep.
Yeah. They're going to have very few 30 point games on offense. You know, they're going to fit in that 21 to 27 point range, you know, which is conducive to a lot of unders for them. I like them to win that division this year. I mean, I think they can win 11, 12 games based on his philosophy, and then get a 2 or 3, 4 seed in the playoffs. They can win a couple games there, hopefully. But I like them to the over, slightly into the over. In terms of total points during the season, I lean heavily toward the under in them. So,
yeah. Yeah, I like that. Team totals with Baltimore, I like them going being kind of more of an under team. Like you said, their defense, they kind of just have that historical, you know.
Right.
The legacy of Ray Lewis lives on in the defense of Baltimore.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I mean, that should play to the under. It's going to be an interesting year. I think this is a big season for Lamar. You know, we've seen 2 years, great regular seasons. They said, you know what, we're going to take away the run and make you pass in the playoffs. And he hasn't been able to get the job done in the playoffs. They don't really have any weapons for him. You know, his number one target was Mark Andrews last year. They had Hollywood Brown, who, you know, is a burner, but he's not really a number one, like, all around, you know, route runner, you know, 50-50 ball guy. So they've added, they got Bateman and they got Sammy Watkins. So they got two big weapons now. You know, now Marquise Brown can truly be in the slot where he belongs, not an outside guy. I think, if you look at velocity throwing the football in the NFL, the top of the totem pole is Patrick Mahomes. He throws the ball, I think it was the combine, 62 miles per hour. And that is, you know, anything 55 and up is pretty good. Average NFL arm is about 55. So 62 Mahomes. Lamar came in, he had the lowest velocity. He only threw the ball 48 miles per hour. So I think that, you know, that shows up in the intermediate game to me. We've seen Lamar throw the ball down the field with some good touch, right? He can throw the ball down the field. He throws a nice deep ball, drops in. He can drop it in the bucket. But where he struggles is those whole, you know, those seam shots, those deep outs where he needs to drive it with that velocity, where that velocity is lacking. You know, that extra 5-6 miles per hour makes a big difference when those DBs, their speed and making a break on the ball. Right. So, I mean, that's what I'm looking at this year. I'm looking at those intermediate throws, those deep digs, those seam routes where you got to push them over the backer's head in front of that free safety. Those deep outs and comebacks, is he going to be able, you know, to get that done? Because if I'm a defensive coordinator, I mean, that's where I am. I'm giving him intermediate throws. I am saying I'm taking away the screens. I'm taking away the checkdowns. I'm taking away the three-step, the quick pitches, the quick game, the slants. The deep stuff I'm taking away. I am making you, you know, I'm opening up the intermediate zone and I'm saying beat me with fitting windows on deep digs, deep outs, getting me in the seam. So, I mean, that's, you know, we know they can run the ball. We know they're going to be a good regular season team. We know they're going to be able to move the ball. I mean, he's a dynamic player. He throws it well enough. But, you know, I just think that's what I'm looking at. Lamar and those intermediate throws, is the velocity looking better? Has the ball coming out? Is he going to be able to get it done? Because that – they're going to win playoff games. He's going to have to thread those windows down the field and drive the ball. So,
right, his ability to read defenses, and when he can't read a defense, he does a big turnover, not get too down on himself, right? Because that's a big knock. He's a thrower. He's not a passer.
Yeah, I think with him is when you sit and watch their games, if they get down 14 points, they're basically done. So they have to abandon the run. And they have to rely on him to read the defenses, make good throws, make accurate throws, and he's had trouble with that in the last 2 years. So
yeah,
you gotta look at that. You gotta look at early in the season, how he's passing and what they're doing in terms of route running on the wide receivers.
Yeah, especially in games that they're favored in, if they're losing at halftime. I would almost 100% of the time bet on them to, you know, because if they're favored, you're going to get a pretty good second half line for that team that's winning. They're going to be expecting them to come back or come, you know, that second half line. I mean, I would, that was a good point. I don't think they're just, I mean, we saw that. I mean, even I think it was the Titans, their first playoff game, they did come back and win, but it was like, my goodness, it's like every inch of what they had to come back. I mean, it was just
The Titans had everybody hurt on defense, and the guys they had in there, in the defensive backfield, were all out of shape. Yeah. And then they're trying to run after Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, exactly. And they didn't come back from his arm. They came back because Lamar busted off a 50-60-yard touchdown run. So.
Right. Yep. And Braywell only seems to want to coach with coaching with Belichick. Yeah. He comes up with those game plans. Now – the Pittsburgh Steelers, right? And I was lucky 30 years ago. I go to Tampa Bay preseason. I didn't know what I was watching, but it was Monty Kiffin, defensive coordinator. Herm Edwards is the defensive back coach. Lovie Smith was the linebacker coach. Rod Marinelli was your defensive line coach. Defensive assistants, Joe Barry, who's the defensive coordinator now for Green Bay. and Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin graduated cum laude from the Citadel, Army type of university. And that was his first job after getting out of there. He's a really smart guy. He's the guy who's won a Super Bowl. Usually Steelers coaches are there 10 years. He's been there more than 10 years. Think about it, man. He's the only guy. Well, Antonio Brown did pretty good for Tampa Bay, but he got a lot of years in Antonio Brown that probably nobody else could have. And him being a hard ass, him being a disciplinarian. I think they make a comeback year. Matt Canada, offensive coordinator, really smart guy. He should be a head coach somewhere in college. Keith Butler coming out of that zone blitz, Blitzburg. They play that zone we talked about, everybody plays, but they blitz a lot more out of it, right? And they get a good push, pass rush out. Man, they're good at player development and scouting players. Only wild card they have is Roethlisberger. He's been there forever. He's like what we talked about, Aaron Rodgers and Rajon Rondo, where the coach calls a play, he does whatever he wants.
Is he hurt? Did he get, at the end of last year, he couldn't throw the ball deep at all. Was there something, did he get surgery in the offseason? Did something happen with him? Or
he always gets surgery in the offseason. Since he had that motorcycle accident years ago, he always gets surgery. His body's completely broken down. I really do think he has a head injury because he's not really the same. He can barely talk when he talks.
Yeah, I'm focused on Roethlisberger to start the year and looking at that arm and seeing if I don't know if he can. I haven't been able to catch a preseason game. Has he played much in the preseason at all? Is he throwing anything?
Yeah, I doubt he would play in the preseason.
I don't believe he played much. I think one game he did. I'm not sure which game it was. I think he played through the first quarter.
Yeah, I see.
I don't think he's played much.
I mean, I kind of, you know, we saw with Drew Brees last year. I mean, I worked out with Drew Brees last offseason, and you could just tell, you know, his deep ball, he was, you know, he relied on getting it out early, you know, to time it out to get it there. If he was late at all, he didn't have that arm strength that he's falling off. I'm looking at Roethlisberger in that aspect. I mean, I just don't think he's got that deep ball left in him that, you know, that he's been so good his whole career with. So, I mean,
he's a big guy. He's a big guy. That's the thing with him. But it takes that line, that wind up takes forever. I only see him deep where he's kind of scrambling and he gives himself a lot of time to wind up and throw.
What is their over under at?
They're over under
Pittsburgh. 8.5, I believe.
Yeah.
I believe I saw.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's a good number. I think, I might have them going over that slate, but it's going to be close. I think that's a good number for them. I like Najee Harris. I think Najee Harris is going to be a stud for them. I think he could, be a top three or four running back in the NFL this year. I mean,
they're going to give the ball like they gave Le'Veon Bell the ball.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, hopefully they can get that running game going. And I'm not too big on their receiving core. I mean, Claypool is – he's a beast. He's more of a tight end, though. But Washington's a burner, small. I mean, I'm not a big Juju Smith-Schuster fan either. I don't feel like he's a legit number one. He's decent speed. He's decent with the 50-50 ball. He's a decent route runner, but he's just, come on, you're gonna compare him to a Stephon Diggs or Devontae Adams. Right. I mean, it's not even close.
No. Juju Smith-Schuster, let's see how he comes out. Got a lot of injuries. But they'll be in the thick of it because they always are. They'll figure out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, Tomlin, I mean, he's a great coach, Hall of Fame coach. They will be in the mix in that division. And, I mean, that's probably one of the most competitive divisions, especially with Cincinnati maybe being a little better this year. That's probably going to be top to bottom, one of the toughest in the NFL.
I 100% agree.
I think they're the ultimate wild card team in the AFC for sure.
Right.
They go one or two ways. They can either go, you know, they started out 11-0 last year and then lost their, you know, finished 4 out of 5 losses. So they're going to run the ball. I think, you know, Juju is back because Ben wanted him back. So I don't know if that means that he's going to try to focus on him a little bit more. But Juju's going to play a lot of slot, you know, which is not conducive to him succeeding as last year. I mean, he caught a lot of balls, but he didn't go for a lot of yards on those catches. So, you know, eight and a half is a really good number for them. They could go 9-8. They go 7-10. There's a whole range of outcomes. If Najee can't run the ball, that offensive line is not good, and Ben looks like his arm is falling off, they could just take the cliff for sure in five games.
Yeah, so definitely.
That's where they are.
They have a recipe to downward spiral, I think. Like you just said, that's the formula that's going to do it. Najee's not able to run behind that line, and Ben's arm, they're going to be in complete rebuild.
Yeah, exactly. Big time.
Because they don't have anything in back of Ben. I mean, Dwayne Haskins, you're really gonna rely on Dwayne? No, I don't think so.
You need to start at Ohio State.
So that if Ben gets hurt or can't play for whatever reason, they're gonna lose games. So,
but they're gonna go under. Did you know Haskins is just gonna run the ball? You're gonna play deep zone and try to low scoring games, trying to beat up literally the other team. And you got to think, if they get in that mode, for years it's been true. You got to look at teams like Seattle, like Pittsburgh. The week after playing them, the team that plays them is usually beat up and loses. Or it's an under.
And last thing on Ben is I just looked at stats. He went 8-10 for 137 against Detroit in second preseason game. Both touchdowns were to his rookie tight end. Okay. So he's not letting the ball go.
No. So that's something to look for, especially with that extra game, the way these guys think. Man, you're looking at a lot of unders early in the season.
Yep.
Waiting for other teams to make mistakes.
Yeah, I think they're going to see a lot of man coverage, too. I think you blitz, Ben. I think you play man, you force him to push the ball down the field and show that he's even capable to throw it down the field, and you bring the damn heat on him. Old man, you know, he can't – not mobile. He's injury prone. I mean, I think he's going to see a lot of blitzing and a lot of man. I mean, that's going to stuff the run. You're bringing all those hats in. I think they're going to see heavy boxes, tons of guys in the box. They're going to be just saying, go throw the – beat me deep. Beat me deep, Ben. Then they're going to – I mean, especially in that division. I mean, Cleveland, Baltimore – they're going to load the box up on them, and they are going to say, you're not beating me running the ball with Najee, you're not going to have a lot of time back there. You're going to have to get it out and show me that you can make these big-time throws.
Not even the tight end is going to be open.
Yeah, and they don't have those type of guys. I mean, they don't have those – I mean, Washington's the only down-the-field threat, you know. Like, Juju isn't a guy that's going to thrive in man, you know. Getting separation for Ben, you know, quick when, you know, and when we're getting heat with blitzing, you got to win early. You know what I'm saying? You got to get a good release off the line. You got to win early to, you know, give, and Juju's not that type of guy. And, you know, Ebron's a big, but, you know, but he's not he's fast on the field, but he's not super, you know, he's just going to be going for 50-50 balls and trying to outrun people. So it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, and the other point to make on them is if they're getting blitzed, he's not going to have time to throw it downfield to Claypool. So that could render Claypool ineffective too, which means they're going to have to run the ball to loosen that up. So,
100%. But the thing is, Big Ben's a veteran quarterback. If you don't do a good job of disguising the blitz and he realizes it right away, he'll burn it. That's a big thing about a veteran quarterback. Another thing, it's going to be hit huge here, so go to the South. I think NFC East is probably the worst division. This is the second worst division. And because these teams are so bad, teams that cover early don't cover late, because teams that cover early, we're going to have to show more of the offense. We're going to throw more of the kitchen sink. And they do that anyways in division games. So you got the Indianapolis Colts, Frank Wright, really, what do you think, you guys? I think the only reason the Philadelphia Eagles won that Super Bowl with Nick Foles is because they had Frank Wright as the offensive coordinator, because Philadelphia had done nothing without him, and Indianapolis makes the playoffs every year. Very minimal talent. When you look at corporate governance, which is part of fundamental analysis, the defensive coordinator at Indianapolis is lights out. He was a finalist for head coaching job. He's married to the game of football, doesn't pay attention to his family, sleeps 2-3 hours a night, making sure they have a great game plan. Wright's the same way. He's a Mormon guy, another disciple of the whole AFC, the disciples of Andy Reid. He has 8 kids and never spends any time at home during the regular season. All he does is come up with game plans, and they never blow anybody out, but they're always in games. First game of the season, Seattle comes over there. A lot of high totals, I'm noticing, because this is two conservative guys in a 17-game season. It's Seattle -3 at Indianapolis, and the over-under is 49. What do you think about your Indianapolis Colts, Scott?
So there's a lot of their offseason's been tough. T.Y. Hilton's not starting the season. He's injured. Wentz hasn't even gotten going. He had foot surgery. Now he's on the COVID list. Their backup quarterback, Ellinger, he's out 5 to 6 weeks. So
that leaves him with Eason?
No, Ellinger. Eason's their only standing quarterback right now that's healthy. Jake Wentz.
He's starting.
Yeah, he's starting as of right now. They don't know if Wentz will be back or not.
Oh, so yeah.
That'll give you an indication of what they want to do opening game. Jonathan Taylor left, Jonathan Taylor right, Jonathan Taylor up the middle. So
that's interesting. That line's only -3 Seahawks. You think it'd be more of a touchdown with Eason?
Seahawks and Carroll old school. He plays super vanilla on the road. And you want to talk about bet the second half if he has a lead? Because all he's going to do is run it with his new offensive line there and play that deep zone.
Yeah, so
that new safety he got.
I personally think they're going to get off to a slow start this year and then pick it up as the season goes on.
Right.
Their 8.5 win total is – I think they can go over that if they don't get themselves deep in a hole early.
Yeah, I agree.
So I see the opening game as a total under because Indy's going to want to do is run the ball. They don't want to if Wentz is not playing and T.Y. definitely is out. So they're gonna want to get Jonathan Taylor involved early and often. So that's what you're gonna see from the Colts probably through the first half of the season is a lot of running, a lot of low scoring games. And not putting the ball in the quarterback's hands. As the season goes on, that might change. But
I like that under a lot, 53.5.
Yeah, definitely. I see a 21-17 game or 21-14 game opening game for them. So
yep, that's a big time under.
Yep. Yep. So I mean, that's what I see from the Colts defensively. They've been good the last couple of years. Since that Super Bowl run, they've had a pretty good defense. They have another really strong defensive unit. So that's why you look at the unders game total wise for them.
Yeah, Pete Carroll was happy to win this game 13-10.
Oh, absolutely.
No question. Extra game.
No question.
Missing Indianapolis. And the reason they have a chance with all those injuries is because they're this division isn't that strong. You have Brable, right, and your Tennessee Titans. What do you think about them, Chat, and your guy out there and playing secondary for them?
Yeah, I mean, man, I don't have too much on them. What do we got? We got Tannehill. He's starting this quarterback there, right?
Yeah, I don't trust Tannehill.
Yeah, he's
their defense, which is supposed to be strong. The draft pick was your guy, the guy you worked out with.
Yeah, Elijah Molden. He's going to be a day one, difference maker. I mean, he made some plays in the preseason that were just ridiculous. I mean, the dude can do it all, man. He can play man coverage. He can play the nickel. He can come up and tackle. He can blitz off the edge. He is a Tyrann Mathieu type guy.
And then Derek Henry reminds me of Earl Campbell in a way. I mean, he's a monster. He's a phenomenal athlete, man.
Yeah.
He's like 260 pounds and runs a 4.4, knocks people down.
Yeah.
This is going to be his, what, third year now? Taking all those hits from Alabama. All these Alabama guys, you know, from your Julio Joneses to
and Julio Jones is on the Titans, right?
Yeah. Yep.
They got so that, I mean, that's a nice, that Julio's an interesting pickup for them to mix him in there with AJ Brown. That gives them a nice little 1-2 punch.
Right.
That could be in that division, I mean, I think it's, you know, the Titans and the Colts, you know, I mean, I don't, the Texans and Jaguars are, I think, in rebuilds, they're going to be rough this year.
Right.
So, Tennessee, what's their, they got to be the favorite to win that division, right?
They are 9.5. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, not 9.5. Yeah.
At 9.5, they're the favorite.
Yeah. But I think they, really, I think they can go over that.
Disaster, really.
Well, the other thing is Julio's been injured this preseason. So,
yeah.
You know, so, and they didn't bring him, when he plays, they didn't bring him over to run Derrick Henry 26, 27 times a game.
Right.
The philosophy is they want to throw the ball maybe to loosen the run up. So, you got to look at when teams make trades also and how it fits into the philosophical makeup of the team. Lost their offensive coordinator with Atlanta.
Right.
Bring Julio over. They obviously want to throw the ball a little bit more. And that's going to take away from Henry's production maybe. Is if you're throwing the ball, you know, if you're taking 5 or 6 carries away from Henry, now he's down to 18, 20 carries a game. You know, what's he going to do with those 18, 20 carries? He's a beast. He's a beast. No question about it. But, you know, bringing Julio means they're going to throw the ball a little bit.
It could preserve Henry too. I mean, maybe first half of the season, they look to pass it more. You know, I think we look to see Tennessee passing it a little more earlier in the first half of the season. I think you kind of look on them to build that run game. I think they're going to build Henry into those carries. I think later in the year when it really, really counts in those big games, I think we're going to see that 26, 25 to 30 carries from Henry.
Yep.
But yeah, early on, like you said, I think they're going to be looking to pass. I think they're trying to figure out a different style to kind of, take that load off Henry that first half of the year. So he's ready to go when it comes, you know, second half of the season to playoff time.
Oh, exactly. Yeah, because, you know, eventually body's going to wear out. And most NFL running backs the last 3 or 4 years, and he's in his third year, he's taking a lot of hits. He's been the whole team, right? And, again, they get outbid for the offensive coordinator. Are they getting outbid for backups? It's a family-owned team where the dad died. It is 50-50 between the sister and the brother. So who's making decisions if they get mad at the GM? Breeble is holding down the fort as a head coach, but he himself got COVID and was out. So they're in Tennessee. That state's a disaster too.
Yeah, and their offense is very concentrated too. It's not they're gonna throw to everybody like, you know, the Patriots have done in past years, like the Jets are gonna do this year. There's Julio, AJ Brown, and then Derrick Henry with the run. And that's it with them. So
yeah.
And the defense is gonna be that zone again. He plays the same Belichick zone we've been talking all day about. Pretty much the whole conference plays that zone, except for the last division that we'll do. That's the AFC West. Now, I've done a lot of research on Houston and Jacksonville because I knew that if I didn't do the research early, I was never going to do the research on this. I've been following Urban Meyer my whole life. I've heard his voice on the phone recruiting a kid that I know, his dad. And, man, he works hard. He doesn't sleep, man. He treats the recruits nice, and then when they get there, he treats them totally like crap. Like, oh, it's not the same guy. But at the end of the day, they end up all loving Urban Meyer. he's come to the NFL for a reason. He has an idea. Plus one, he's gotten to the Super Bowl. Remember, Kaepernick got to the Super Bowl plus one. Harbaugh family, the Harbaugh family still doing the plus one with Lamar Jackson. That's what we're going to do all day. What is plus one? And you can't argue with him, right? Because Satan Belichick has won between Super Bowls and national championships, 13, 14 titles. But their defense does not account for the quarterback. So the quarterbacks have a field day. That's why Johnny Manziel beat Satan. And Bill Belichick has been beaten by running quarterbacks, right? Mm-hmm. Baltimore is one. Tyrod Taylor, when he was a Buffalo running quarterback, because Belichick says, hey, and he's been right so far, that a running quarterback can't beat him consistently. They can beat him in one game situation, but it's not going to beat that defense consistently. Same thing with Pete Carroll. That's why Pete Carroll, as an antidote, has a running quarterback. So Jacksonville is going to be interesting because, believe me, Urban Meyer's your offensive coordinator, right? Believe me, he's going to try to wear you down and beat you in the heat in the second half of those big offensive linemen, right? That's Urban Meyer. Houston, and man, right out of the chute during our draft, Jim Coventry was saying Houston's going to tank, right? And Houston, their head coach, I can't even remember his last name because he is such a joke. You research the Houston head coach, it's a complete joke. And then the guy who's actually seems like he's running things, you know, you're at a job and there's management structure, but then you have other people who are really the ones running things. The one really running things is Lovie Smith. And God bless Lovie Smith, man. He's been making $5 million for the last 10 years. He hasn't won anything since he took Rex Grossman, a defensive-minded team, to the Super Bowl, playing that Tampa 2 coverage and that zone defense we were talking about. He took that to the Super Bowl. He's running that team. They look like they're going to be under all the time. Jacksonville, I think, can sneak in there with whatever Urban Meyer has cooking. And let's say Tennessee tanks, Henry and Jones get hurt, and put it on Tannehill, and Tannehill tanks because Tannehill, all he has is that hot wife that's always shooting those guns online. Looking at that, those heat games, right, for Jacksonville, global warming, right? Chad knows this for real, and we did it during the Super Bowl. last year, the only game I got wrong with taking a Florida team in the second half line was Jacksonville. It's 6.5, right? So we look at Jacksonville's schedule. You see a guy like me saying that Urban Meyer has something cooked up because he's interviewed with Jerry Jones for the head coaching job. And he has something he's cooked up about the NFL. So you're looking Houston, they can win that. Denver, they can win that. Arizona, they can win that. Cincinnati, they can win that. It's 4. Let's call Tennessee, Miami losses, Seattle loss, Buffalo loss. Indianapolis, is they're going to be as bad as they're going to be? That's 5. San Francisco at home, right? San Francisco comes from a nice weather place. Going into that 100-degree heat, 90% humidity in that second half. Running team as well. I wonder if they can handle the second half. Houston again, that's your 6, right? New York Jets, 7. And pride, they're not going to lose to Indianapolis twice in a row. So I think Jacksonville can get 7 or 8 wins based on home field advantage with the heat. And with if a guy's been out a month with Moderna, he doesn't have the conditioning he should have, or with Pfizer, right? So these heat games, Denver, right? Denver has really nice weather. That's going to be a shock for them coming out of halftime. Arizona, they play in a dome. Tennessee should be able, but Tennessee's been really out of shape. Miami will be all right. Buffalo goes to Jacksonville. San Francisco, Atlanta, Houston again. They play in a dome. And Indianapolis goes over there. Indianapolis hasn't covered any second-half lines in Florida that are better. So I'm going to ride that until I lose that. So I can see them getting over six wins. It's going to be Trent Baalke. First experiment with a college coach was Jim Harbaugh. He goes to the Super Bowl, have a good run. He fires him, hires Chip Kelly. Him and Chip Kelly gets fired. He gets the job at Jacksonville, and he hires Urban Meyer. So that means that the GM is a control freak, right? He has a lot of control over that roster. Even though Urban Meyer's getting $10 million a year, but he's focused on coaching and whatever he has cooked up. What do you think about the Jacksonville Jaguars, Scott?
I think their offense is going to be better than people think. Right. I think, you know, I think the Etienne hurts, the injury hurts a little bit, but I think they have some good wide receivers. I think James Robinson can run the ball. He proved that last year. I think the schedule is conducive to them winning a few ball games. It's all about defense with them. How are they going to be defensively? Are they going to be able to rush the passer? Are they going to be able to cover? Are they going to be able to get the quarterback out in the perimeter that doesn't want to go out there? Six wins is a good total for them. I think, like you said, they can get to seven or eight. So I think they're gonna challenge Indy and Tennessee for the division. I think that's the sneak up team this year is Jacksonville. I think Trevor Lawrence is gonna be better than people expect him to be. Could be rookie of the year. So,
well, he's gonna have the same game plan Mac Jones has, and he could take off and run, and then in the heat. You better have lighter offensive line, because if you have heavier defensive linemen trying to run around,
there's no way
trying to get him yet in the heat. What do you think about that, Scott? Chad Nolan?
I think you guys covered it all. I think that six they could possibly go over. I think they have some favor in that division being weaker, probably the weakest division in football this year. Their schedule is pretty favorable, and that home field advantage is all going to, be on their side this year. So I think you guys hit it all.
Yeah. And then Houston's a disaster. I think they might do well the first game, but it's against Jacksonville. When you have two loser teams that play each other, Shad's heard this analogy. It's like having that family member who's always has trouble. And they go, hey, man, can I borrow $20? And you say, no, your family, I love you. I'll give you $20. Because you're never going to see those $20 again. And then during Thanksgiving, the family member that comes in late, they're coming in 20 minutes late, half hour late, with a whole story about this and that, the ham, I overcooked it, blah, 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 da, da, da. Same thing with the Houston's and Jacksonville's. You don't lay numbers on that. So I'm going to hit Jacksonville money line on that. And the under. Houston, their ownership group is, it's never a good idea to defy and go toe-to-toe with Goodell. Never is a good idea to do that. Because really, Goodell is Jerry Jones and all the craft, all the hierarchies. And the kids, who again, the patriarchy, I remember, dynasties only last three generations. So the second generation looks like they're in trouble for the McNairs. They're arguing with Goodell. They're like, you take Deshaun Watson. And they're like, no, you take the liability for Deshaun Watson. The NFL does not want to put him on the exempt list because they don't want to take the liability because you'll sue him. Because even though we know something's going on, he's probably a sex trafficker who's committed a lot of crime, nobody's proven that yet. Now, Houston does not want to cut him because they don't want the liability. They don't want to get sued. You're innocent until proven guilty. So being on the exempt list tells me the death of the tanking here, because he's on the team. He's taking a spot on the team. Then, and they don't care. And you got Lovie Smith running things here. So Houston is one of those teams you bet against no matter what. I'm betting against Houston, and they're over under for the year is four games. So that's what, 4-13, right? But I could see them going 0-17, 1-16. I don't think anybody with stakes are now. And with it's a battle of attrition, and they don't have any players. They even have one less roster spot. So I see them over 17. I see them under 4. What do you guys think? Under 4?
Yeah, sure. Worst, probably the worst team in the NFL this year. That's my pick for the worst team. Right.
Crazy clients coming in late. It's a life saving, so I don't know. All right, so we'll go to your last division, man. I like it, man. I think, hey, you never knock on wood, right? You never know until it happens. You never count your chickens before they hatch. But, man, this is looking like it could be a extremely big year. Now, last division is a division that's kind of sort of different than all the other ones, but in a lot of ways, it's the same. Big influence in Andy Reid here. We'll start with Denver. Denver is one of those teams that's, again, the patriarch of the family died, and they're going through a huge turnover in their franchise. They're selling the franchise. What does that mean? They don't have backups. Last year, they didn't even have a quarterback. They had the wide receiver as a quarterback. It was like the easiest under. I didn't even know Vegas allowed that. Because I mean, anybody that watches had that under in that game, and the under was like 45. It was like, wow, what's going on here? It was one of those easy wins. I don't see much from them this year either. They got rid of the quarterback that was doing good for them, right? I liked him a lot. I liked Drew Lock a lot. I liked him when he was in college, and I liked him in the NFL. Had no idea why they got rid of him. You got Dick Fangio, right?
They got rid of him, or he's just a second string?
He's second string.
Second string. He's not starting, which is, I think, it's crazy. But maybe they're trying to lose on purpose so they can sell the team for more money. As you remember, the highest cost of a business is labor cost. And teams that are selling always get rid of labor. Big time, right? And they don't want to play a lot. You got Terry Bridgewater, right? The cheapest quarterback they can get. Serious knee injury, but he's a winner. Melvin Gordon, right? They're going to run a lot. They're going to have a decent defense. They've made a lot of money with the Denver Broncos and the under. And Fangio is a master strategist. So big money won last year when people had a big line against the Denver Broncos. What do you think, Scott Cope?
So they have the ultimate home field advantage where they play in the Mile High.
Right.
So that'll win them a lot of games at home or keep them competitive. Agree with you, Bridgewater is more of a game manager than he is anything else. Not turn the ball over. They get Jerry Jeudy, Cortland Sutton, good wide receivers, Noah Fant. So their receiving core is pretty good. Can Bridgewater get in the ball? Defense is a huge question in my mind. I know they drafted that guy Surtain high, but how are they going to be defensively against the likes of Mahomes and Herbert in that division? 8.5, say, a good number for them. They're going to be right around that, I think. Maybe a little less. I think a little less. I think 7 wins is probably a good win total for them, based on what their schedule is going to be. So I think it just comes down to what they're going to do defensively, and how Teddy Bridgewater can manage that team. That's what I think. I haven't been impressed with them in the preseason at all. So that's what I'm looking at with Denver in that division.
Yeah, I think they'll hold water in the beginning of the season, then tank at the end. And then you always see it. I don't know, it hasn't caught up. But Kansas City and Denver, in the history of the NFL, have the highest winning percentage at home. So Denver is a dog at home. It's made me a lot of money. What do you think of Denver Broncos, Chad?
Yeah, it's going to be, it's interesting. They went with Bridgewater over Drew Lock. You know, they said it was a really close competition, but Bridgewater just beat them out. I mean, I think they're going to be a good under team.
Right.
You know, that mile high advantage at home is, you know, something that always needs to be factored in. You know, they got a pretty solid receiving core. You know, I like Sutton a lot. And then Jerry Judy's probably the best route. I mean, one of the best young route runners in the game. And then Hamlin's a burner. And they got three studs there. So, you know, I think they can be pretty productive offensively. You know, if the O-line's clicking and everything else, you know, if they're running the ball well. So, yeah, I mean, you said their total, what, they're at 6.5?
Eight and a half.
Yeah, that's man, they're going to be right there. They're, like you said, a lot of teams 9-8. They're going to be 8-9 or 9-8. They're going to be right around.
They have an easy schedule, right? They have at Giants, Jacksonville, Jets, then Baltimore. Now, we're reverging to the mean make some money. If they go 3-0, and they have Baltimore coming in to Denver, right? I'm exaggerating, but it'll be, let's say it's Denver -7. It's Baltimore. It's an easy Baltimore win, right? Reverging to the mean. So those are things to look at. First 6 weeks of the season before we know who's who, what's what, and which teams are going to give out because of the depth or lack thereof. Division games here are always 50-50. And a lot of money to be made, especially last year. Andy Reid and John Gruden are really close friends. So when Kansas City swept them, you knew that Gruden was spending all summer studying Kansas City and was not going to let himself get beat twice. So he wins outright once, and he covered for us twice. They bring in Bradley as a defensive coordinator, played that good zone. Carr understands what Gruden wants more. Offensive line's beefed up. Gruden likes to run it, likes complimentary football. That's why it doesn't really matter who the running backs is. It's going to be enough for them to win, for them to be in games. They're going to get the call this year because they're in a new $2 billion stadium. So right now, every time a team has had a new stadium, they've gotten the call, and they've covered a lot for us. I love that year, the Katrina year after New Orleans, and then went to Atlanta. Went to the Super Bowl with a new Mercedes, so they covered all the way until they lost that big lead to the Patriots. So I like Las Vegas a lot this year. Their over-under is, let's see, it's 7. So I think they go easily 7, over 7 points because Roger Goodell, you don't mess with him, but Roger Goodell loves real estate, right? How did Walmart make its money? With commercial real estate. They're the owners of the Rams, SoFi Stadium. Now the Raiders in Vegas, a lot of states have legalized betting. They're able to bet the Raiders or bet against the Raiders and ride to the stadium. I think it's going to be a huge scene. Because of inflation, the pandemic, from a business standpoint, it's a no-brainer. His best friend is Andy Reid. They'll probably split. Got to look at those lines. And I'm already betting first game of the season. Home dogs on Monday night are 80% anyways. But Lamar Jackson's getting -4, over under 51. Two coaches like to run. I'm already betting your Las Vegas Raiders +4 over that key number and under 51. Both these teams are going to – I can see a 24-14 game, 24-21 type of situation. Baltimore in Las Vegas. Looks like it's Monday night. Yeah, 9:15, yep. Monday night.
Yep.
What do you think, Shanoa?
Yeah, definitely they can go over that win total. You know, they're I think they can kind of get over the hump this year, maybe. Maybe be that second, you know, that second team in that division behind the Chiefs and get themselves in a wild card spot. You know, John Gruden, good coach, man, good corporate governance there. You know, I mean, I guess I'm really focused on Carr. You know, he's kind of been a piece of the puzzle that's kind of been a question mark, I guess, the last few years. You know, they've been talking about replacing him, stuff like that. But, you know, Gruden's sticking with him, so he obviously sees something there. Under should be good, and yeah, like you said, home dogs on Monday night are a good play always.
Yeah, Rich Gannon, he likes running quarterbacks, so he'll pull him because Derek Carr has a knack for to play well, but then the big turnover in a crucial spot. He tries to do too much. He'll pull and put Marcus Mariota in there. He's not afraid to play two quarterbacks. What do you think, Scott Cove?
I agree with you. They're going to be one of those 8-9, 9-8 teams for sure. I think they're an underrated team. I think Gruden knows how to get his way around games in terms of game planning. I see the under on that opening night game as well. I see the Raiders winning that game. It's very possible they win that game outright without the points. Yeah. After the Ravens and Steelers, and you know, their schedule becomes very easy. They got a lot of easy games. You can win. They got the Bengals. They got the Bears. They got a couple other Eagles they got in that stretch.
All those games are the new $1 billion stadium.
Eagles are coming in. Bears are coming in. Bengals are coming in. So they, you know, the thing with them is Henry Ruggs going to break out this year. You know what you got in Waller, obviously. Is Henry Ruggs going to be a guy that, you know, can break out? I mean, showed flashes of it last year. Carr does throw the deep ball. He throws a nice deep ball. So, I see them in the mix for a 6 or 7 seed for sure this year. I could see them winning a lot of games that people don't think they're going to win. I can see them splitting with the Chargers this year. They always play well against Kansas City, always. So I can see them getting one of those. So, defense. Are they going to be able to rush the quarterback? Are they going to be able to cover in secondary? So, but I like them. I think they're a very underrated team this year. I think they're a team that you can bet the over win total. And, you know, there's going to be some unders there during the season. So,
100%, because Gruden loves to play complimentary football, run that ball in the second half, especially if he has a big lead on the road. And it's been undefeated, man. I'm going to keep doing it until it doesn't work. But teams with new stadium, especially home, cover more often than not. So we'll go with Chargers, and then we'll close up with those Kansas City Chiefs. Chargers, again, mafia-owned team, right? So what happens to the mafia-owned team is they have like 100 owners. The Spanoses only own 39% of the team. They have it in a trust. And the sister's taking Dean Spanos to federal court because she wants her cut early of that 39%, and she's trying to force sale of the team. What does that mean? It means they have to spend a lot of money on lawyers, and if the team has to force sale, what do you cut? You cut labor costs. So the Chargers, notorious cheap franchise, they've done well with, they have Ron Rivera and great coaches like that, but now they got the cheapest coaches they can get, the defensive coordinator, Brandon Staley from the Rams. First year defensive coordinator, now he's the head coach. I saw them in training camp. They have a lot of energy. But man, this piles in the practice facilities. I think they have a lot of energy. The problem, they have a great general manager who knows how to do less with more, Tom Telesco, who dealt with the Irsay family, right? Family-owned team. He knows how to scout players, develop players, but depth is going to be an issue. The other problem is they're in a good division. Gruden won a Super Bowl. He's teaming up with Andy Reid, his best friend, right, for scouting and informational purposes. And Denver is just tough. They're going to be tough at home. I think they're taking your quarterback. I think they'll be fine early in the season, but then late in the season, they get a break going to Houston. You get the Giants. So the last end of the season, they're going to be depleted, but they play Denver twice. That's probably going to be a loss. At Cincinnati, it's probably a game they lose. They probably should win. The Giants at home, Kansas City, Houston, Denver, and Vegas. So let's see where they're at late in the season. And the Chargers are – that's the thing, right? The thing with the L.A. teams, inflated lines, because it's only an hour drive to Vegas. Right now you got specials on the planes. If it wasn't for Delta, right, you got $49 round trip from L.A. to Vegas on that. So what happens? Those L.A. lines are inflated, especially late in the weekend. You go the other way. We've been fortunate, lucky, and good. We have the same thing as the Florida second half lines, 80%. So a lot of money to be made in those L.A. inflated lines because of their proximity to Vegas and San Francisco's proximity to Nevada. Now with the apps, it's even more. So that's the way we take advantage of market inefficiencies and make a lot of money, right? Getting it way over 52.5. And my wife buys an expensive purse or dress with a lot of arguments, high price of gasoline. So 9.5, this is the quintessential 9-8 team because they're going to lose some games they wouldn't just because they can't afford Tom Telesco, not allowed to get certain priced backups. So I'm going under with the Chargers. What do you think about the Chargers, Scott?
I agree with you. Depth is a definite issue with them. They're after Eckler and the running back. There really isn't anybody. Keenan Allen on the offense after him. They lost Hunter Henry to New England. So depth is going to be a huge issue. They're a team that always comes up with that injury in the key spot that hurts them. I know you can't count on that, but
right.
You know, early in the offseason, I was on them, and then as I took a look at what they did in the offseason and what they've done, I'm soured on them a little bit just simply because no depth. They got a great young quarterback in Herbert. He doesn't have a ton of weapons. Their schedule in the back half of the season, as you said, lightens up considerably. But are they going to be in a position where they can capitalize and be over that win total? I'm not so sure. You know, they're probably going to play a majority of overs, I think, in games. They're going to throw the ball a lot. Throw it to Eckler. Throw it to Keenan. Right. Throw it to Williams. So they're going to be a heavy throw, heavy pass team. So. I think the win total could be right on. I might lean slight under 8-9, 9-8, somewhere in there. But I think you're gonna play a lot more overs with them than you're gonna play unders.
Right.
And their defense is underrated, but they always have that one injury in the defense that just kills them. Kills them, lack of a better term. So that's another thing is where is that injury going to come for them? And they're notoriously a team that blows games late in the fourth quarter. So are they going to overcome that?
And with a young second-year quarterback, Justin Herbert, in a really bad offensive line, the fans were appalled by one of the offensive linemen they kept. It's going to be a primary backup, but he even played some left tackle. So that shows you how they're crunched for money. And this is definitely a team, things start going south, it's really going to go south. What do you think, Shed? No.
Yeah, I think you guys got it all. Overs, I think, will play well with them. I think that overplay, I think we're going to see them maybe get some leads in the first half. Then they're going to struggle to finish games with that offense and with that throwing the ball. I think – we'll see them get up or have some good spurts, but I just think they're going to have trouble finishing with the depth later in the season. They're just not going to be able to close out games and finish games, and that's what's going to come down to with them.
Big Ten. And what do you think about this, guys? I see a huge – I can't even believe this is right. I'm going to have to double-check this. Because I see a real big mistake here in the line. It could be L.A. Inflated line. It could be people listening to hype. But this does not look right at all. I'm going to double-check here. First game of the season in Washington, D.C. The Chargers are 1-point favorite over Washington.
I saw that.
Over under 44.
That's ridiculous that they're favored in that game.
All right. So right after I finish the podcast, I'm going to make that bet. Because Ron Rivera, they got a great coaching staff, bad offensive line, and then a lights-out defensive line. Then the average score of an NFL game historically is 45. That's a 44.5. I'm going to buy that half a point and go under 45.
And here's the hidden thing. They're coming across the country playing a 1 o'clock game, not a 4 o'clock game, a 1 o'clock game. So that's another thing you got to look at. I know it's week one. I know opening week, but still, you got to look at those two factors as well.
10 a.m. for them.
Yeah. Yep.
And it's not like they have luxury facilities in a, chartering a plane or whatever. Travel's going to be crazy. They fly commercial. They're flying commercial to Washington. Their body's going to be 10 a.m. Man.
And Washington's right defense. And Washington's defense is nasty. Nasty.
Yeah. Not only do they have good defensive line, they have depth on that defense.
Yep. So,
too deep coming right at you.
I think that line's going to change before next week.
Oh, yeah. So that's why you bet it now.
Absolutely. No question.
Yeah, I bet it Minnesota Golden Gophers plus 18 when we saw that during the podcast chat. Now it's at 10. So that's an 8-point swing right there. All right, man. We made a lot of money on this podcast, just going over things, getting information, collaborating with each other. Sports betting is the only form of wagering where there's a collaboration and you make money as you share information. We all got regular jobs, things we got to do, relationships. You can't process it all, right? So final thoughts. We'll go Scott and then Shad.
So I think the AFC is more wide open than the NFC for sure. I do like the Chiefs, the Bills up at the top, but I think you have wild card teams in the Steelers and Raiders that could put some fear into some teams. I think the Patriots are much improved. And I think that AFC South, definitely, I think you can make some money off betting against the Texans a lot. Big time. Yep.
Big time.
So those are my impressions, and I think Jacksonville is going to be – and the Jets, too. You probably can make some money off the Jets, betting against the Jets as well. So,
right. You have a great, great coach as far as, attitude. He's going to have that Pete Carroll thing. But he's not Pete Carroll.
Yep. No doubt.
What do you think, Chad Nolan?
Man, I'm good. I don't got anything else to add. I think we covered it all. It's a good show. Got a lot of information out there. Man, I'm ready. We're going to get it going, get it rolling, and see how it all turns out. Hopefully, just how we thought.
Big time. So, every podcast is a business meeting. Purpose and outcome. And the outcome has been 1,000% ROI the last 2 years. What does that 1,000% ROI mean? It means you have 10 times more money than what you had before. So, going to start bringing the afterburners on the Twitter page tomorrow. I'm going to put out the college picks. We'll do another tweet, get out all the over-unders we've had. Man, that is money. And I see the stars aligning for a big money year for all of us so we can mitigate inflation. And like Winston Churchill said, got us through World War I, right? And as I get older, the more you give, you get 10 times back. You make a living from your labor, but you make a life from what you give. That's why we give you every single pick over another for free. What we want you to do is we want you to make money. And if you feel like it, collaborate with us. Give us a tip or two. You make a living from your labor, but you make a life from what you give. Thank you for listening to the ESPC podcast.
quiet as fuck.